chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flare, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams. We pursue.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check out our website, theantimedia.org. That's where we're posting a lot of these stories that we talk about here on the show. And make sure you bookmark UCY as well and check out all the other awesome journalists and artists and all the other cool hosts that are on UCY, because there's a diverse group of people, and it's cool. You get a lot of different views, and the best part of it all is it's independent. It's not corporate media. I'm joined here in the studio with my co-host, DB Schwartz. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Back in the Sunshine State here, away from the Arctic tundra, and glad to be back and able to go outside and all that good stuff in the middle of what's starting to be a winter for most people. So I guess we're really blessed.
Yeah, man. We got some pretty big stuff going on. I guess the top of the list is the elections, right? And all the hype about the elections. Now, I read an article the other day that said there was literally a million ads. There's literally a million ads run in the midterm elections.
Wow.
And now the thing about the midterm elections is that it's, for one, it's not an election that many people vote at, right? Hardly anyone votes during the midterms. But to think about the money being spent, I mean, we're talking about billions of dollars right now being spent all over the place, all over the country. Every state is having a run, and it just kind of goes to show the very nature of this system. You know, it's pay to play. And one of the stories that I want to talk about first, it was just posted on the Anti-Media. We posted it on the Facebook page. About how Sheldon Adelson, which if I remember correctly, he was the guy that was the one funding, sending millions to Newt Gingrich, right, during 2012 elections. He funneled a bunch of money to Newt Gingrich and kept Gingrich's campaign alive and all this crap. But apparently this guy is funneling almost $4 million into Florida to oppose the legalization of cannabis, which is to oppose medical cannabis, which is stuff that people need because they're sick. I mean, think of all the recent stories that we've heard lately about the little kids that are having seizures and stuff that are getting helped with cannabis and all that. I mean, this is it's a medicine, and for these people to keep it illegal, it goes against all logic. It goes against science. It goes against common sense. You know, so I mean, I want to know why these billionaires are funding all these anti-marijuana campaigns.
I mean,
it's like reefer madness all over again.
It's naughty. It's just follow the money. I mean, just looking it up right now, does Adelson have interests in private prisons? Yeah, billions. And that's the pipeline, man. There's no private prison industry without illegal marijuana. Illegal marijuana provides 50% of the private prison's prison base, where they get slave labor and they make you pay for it. It's a win-win-win and a lose for society. And prohibition just it's never going to work. You're never going to work unless it was really there for a reason, and it's not. It's never been to keep society safe. It's simply controlling the supply. That's it. They don't care if you get addicted. If they cared if you're addicted, like we talked about earlier, Nick, why don't we have a place where you can try a drug under the, you know, protection of a medical staff, and you can pay for that privilege and you can experience that drug. You can do it safely. Fact is, they don't want that. They want addicts. It's the same thing with cancer. They don't want people to be cured of cancer. They don't. And they don't want addicts to be cured of their addiction, because you can't stop this money pipeline. And it's just laughable. You know, when Proposition 2, which is coming out in Florida, used the argument that the black market for marijuana would explode if it became legalized, it shows how stupid they think their voters are. Because it's been shown when that it becomes legal, there's no more black market. There's none. Why would I ever go buy it from some dude on the corner when I can go to a dispensary? There's no point. And that's what I mean. It flies in the face of logic, and it really it's insulting. It's insulting to the voters, and really it's insulting to the people who have cancer and diseases in Florida, the retired snowbirds. They want to smoke, man. That's it. The opposition is only coming from people that are hopelessly brainwashed.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing, too, is that even insinuating that a marijuana black market is a bad thing is just pure propaganda. I mean, how many black market marijuana dealers do you know that's killed people? I mean, it's a pretty rare thing. And in fact, I remember when the toxicology report came out about Mike Brown, they tried to use the fact that he had marijuana in his system, right, as a demonizing thing. When I see something like that, I'm like, well, then it's even less likely that he was aggressive towards the cop, because the kid was probably stoned. So it's even less likely that he was trying to kill the cop. So, I mean, they try to pull these things out, you know, to demonize him in the face of old people. Well, the problem is that it's the old people in Florida that now want to smoke.
Yes, they're hurting. They're dying.
And so the reason why they want legal cannabis is because they don't know anybody really to get it on the streets. And the people they do know probably take advantage of them because they're old and stuff.
Or rob them.
So, yeah, the old people want to have dispensary access.
I mean, it's just it flies in the face of everything that has a shred of any thought behind it. Why? Why is it okay to market cigarettes and alcohol to children, which they do on the regular? You look at advertising, it's during sports events. Children are always at sports events with parents. So it's ridiculous. It's like marketing fast food. And now what? A plant that grows out of the earth is the new demon weed? We've shown that all the studies done in the 10s and the 20s were bullshit. So it's all junk science based on it. And it's because they knew they couldn't control it. You can grow it in your backyard and get relief and get high. You don't need to go out to a bar, get drunk, and get a DUI. You see how the money train stops if the plant's allowed to grow? That's all it is.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the last show as well, about that mother Minnesota, was it?
Yeah.
Where she was treating her son, which was a teenager. He had like some kind of horrible accident. And he got pretty messed up. And the only thing that she was able to find that helped him, she tried all these pharmaceutical drugs, and the cannabis treatment was the only thing that really helped him. Mm-hmm. And then his teachers basically asked, "Oh, your son's doing a lot better in school. What is it that you're doing to make him feel better?" And she made the mistake of admitting that she was giving him marijuana, some kind of cannabis in edible form. And the teachers ratted her out.
Yep.
You know, now she's facing like 4 years or something in jail because of it.
Angela Brown, she's headed to trial despite the fact that they just passed a law in Minnesota allowing the use of cannabis oil for medicinal purposes, because she jumped the gun because her child was hurting and having seizures and dying, and she couldn't bear to stand watching it, and she couldn't afford to move to Colorado. Okay, and this is if we have compassion as a country at all, why would we not allow something that's been on the earth forever that we co-evolved with? We have a cannabidiol system which functions as a basically primary immune system that will kill all of these mutated cells out before our regular immune system has to deal with them. And why is it, why do they keep it locked up? The patent. The patent keeps it locked up. That's the only thing that does it. If the United States citizen said, guess what? We're going to all go to the patent office and contest the patent for marijuana, it will be legal tomorrow because there will be no reason to keep it illegal because we'll all have access to it because we can grow it without fear of prosecution. And it would change our country overnight. And I guess if there's anything to get behind, if a politician's advocating legal marijuana, support him because it would change our whole economy around and take the power from the elites back to us.
Yeah, man. And that's one of the reasons why I think people really should jump behind this Proposition 2 in Florida. Because obviously a guy that's got interest in keeping this stuff illegal is bankrolling this thing. I mean, this is the worst crony capitalism kind of example that we can actually, really see with the blind eye because it's actually reported on. You can see this stuff happening. You can see these millions of dollars flooding into these political campaigns. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show how co-opted the system really is. And now, more on this voting stuff, and we're hoping to get a special guest later to talk a little bit more about these elections tomorrow. You guys, everyone listening knows that I'm not a huge voter or anything like that, but I'm not going to say you shouldn't. I'm not
really
going to say you should.
With the blind eye, because it's actually reported on.
Sorry, we had a little glitch there. So one of the props, the prop in Florida is one that we should basically be getting behind. And like you said earlier, it's not so much about these candidates that are running. I mean, nobody's going to save you, right? We can't be putting our hope into these mystical figures that we call politicians. We all know how fallible these people are. But to get these other laws changed, and most of the time these are laws that are just rolling back other laws, right? That are unjust laws. Like, for instance, with Prop 2 in Florida, they're having marijuana illegal is an unjust law, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not harming anybody. You're just controlling people's private lives. You're impeding on their liberties and their freedom. If people tried to ban tobacco, I mean, there'd be a complete uproar.
Yep.
Tobacco kills way more people than marijuana does.
Yep.
So a lot of these things are just rolling back these laws. And that's also what's going on with Proposition 47 in California. And this is another one that people need to get behind. And you guys got to, wherever you're at, I mean, whatever state you're in, if you're going to vote, make sure you look into these propositions and stuff because this is where you could probably make the most, where you can make the most of your vote. Voting for some kind of politician obviously isn't going to be the greatest idea. But Proposition 47 is also another instance of basically rolling back these unjust laws. And I'm just going to go over just a quick summary of Prop 47, and then we have a caller on the line as well. So let me just go into this. Proposition 47 would reclassify possession of heroin, methamphetamine, and other illegal drugs and theft of $950 or less as misdemeanors in California. If the measure passes, California will become the first state to defelonize all drug use, opening the door for similar efforts in other states. So we have a caller on the line from 818, I believe. How's it going, man? You're on the Anti-Media. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the legalization of marijuana and stuff like that. Well, if the government is trying to keep everything that might work, in the right way, illegal, it's like the comment that was said, by this congresswoman. You had all these, young black men that were arrested for selling weed, and now the white man is going to get rich over, selling the weed because they're the ones that have the powerhouse, and stuff like that. And so one of the things that I've been, very vocal about is, you know, we need to start growing hemp in this country too. But unfortunately, the government puts hemp and marijuana in the same, basically same list and stuff like that, you know. So that's why I always tell people that you have to kind of really know what you're talking about, you know, and, you know, the difference between hemp, and hemp's a good product, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, and on the voting thing, don't bother to vote. Your vote is just obsolete. You know, the whole system's corrupted, so don't worry about the voting.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think I'm pretty much in agreement with you on the voting thing. Now, I don't want to discourage anyone from voting for these propositions and stuff. Because, like, I mean, like, if you look at what we passed, what, Prop 215 in California.
Right.
What was it? What was that in the late 90s, early 2000s? Mm-hmm. And we kind of set the stage for marijuana legalization, like, all around the country, more or less, right? Like Colorado and Washington. A bunch of other states have medical, and that's what Florida's all is trying to do, is get the medical stuff going.
Yeah. I think that we can really safely say for Super or Not So Super Tuesday tomorrow that the candidates doesn't matter, but the propositions still do. And the reason is because it's spelled out. And the candidate can just make a promise. And I think if we came to a point where police had gotten to be liable personally for their actions the same way a politician would, we would see a complete change. Imagine if everything he signed off was criminally liable. You said you were going to do this. You didn't. That's fraud. You're going to jail. We need to get to that point. If there's no accountability, why would they change? Why would they cater to the stupid people that don't keep up on the issues? That's why voting could be important, but it's not right now, and you're right.
Yeah, and like you were saying, I know we talked about this before, about like more instant type of recall elections and stuff. So like if you have a candidate, a politician that goes back on something he said, well then boom, you just recall him right away.
And send him to jail. Why shouldn't he go to jail if he's affecting millions of people with lies? For a big interest? Forget that.
Good point.
Yeah, that kid, there was another instance here where we can kind of see the double standard. That kid, one of the roommates or friends of the Tsarnaev brother, that was one of the kids implicated in the Boston bombing, right? One of his friends. The crime that he was charged with and just sentenced for? Lying to the FBI.
Yeah.
He got sentenced to jail for lying to the government.
Right.
And it's like that meme. It's like that meme. I'm sure everybody's seen it, where it's like, if the government lies to us, it's called politics. If we lie to the government, you know, it's like criminally punishable. And so, yeah, there's like a huge double standard. I mean, the people that are supposed to be, you know, keeping the country going correctly, the people supposed to be keeping the country going, I mean, these are the ones breaking the biggest laws. These are violations of the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, supposedly.
Right.
Yeah, you get caught with a little joint in your pocket in the wrong state, in Texas or whatever, and you're going to the big time.
Well,
you know,
the legalese used in our current, you know, law system is so duplicitous. You can, if you get a genius representing you, you're off, because he's going to find a loophole, and it was left with loopholes. It was left so the wealthy could buy them, unless they completely incriminated themselves, that if there was a shred of doubt, a good lawyer could make it go away. This is the separating factor in justice and really in our world right now. It has nothing to do with men with guns, because for all we know, there's men with guns that can shoot those men with guns. But when you get to a court of law, when there is no weapon but your mind, the sharpest minds are the sharpest sticks, dude. And unfortunately, the people don't understand law anymore, and they're completely at the whim of the system.
Yeah, and I think we could segue right into this thing that I got here about Obama. And this is from The Atlantic. And I want to go over this, too, afterwards. Don't let me forget about the media and how they've changed and why, because we saw the exact same thing happen with Bush. But let's take Obama as an example of one of these politicians that said he was going to do something and obviously didn't. Here's a list from The Atlantic, and keep in mind, this is written from a more left point of view.
Yes.
So these are the concerns that even progressives should have with Obama.
Yeah.
He spied on every American, number one. Covered up torture. Continued the war on drugs and its ruinous path towards hurting minorities. and entire foreign nations, which would be Mexico, Guatemala, and other countries like that, killed hundreds of innocent people in drone strikes, waged war illegally and killed an American citizen without due process, while suppressing the legal reasoning to do so, let high-ranking national security officials break the law with impunity, and persecuted whistleblowers. So this is just a list of a few of the things that Obama has done that he basically claimed he wouldn't do when he was running. And, you know, if we were in a truly Republican-style government, I would say, you know what, Obama needs to be impeached over these offenses. But at this point in time, what in the world would impeaching Obama actually accomplish? I mean, at best, you got Joe Biden, or you're going to have just a special election, an election that's cut short. And then we're going to replace him with a Mitt Romney or a Jeb Bush or whatever. So, you know, to me, it's like impeaching Obama over these crimes is not going to really solve anything, because at this point in time, the election system is messed up,
right,
especially when it comes to electing politicians.
That's true.
Yep. And really, honestly, the only chance we have of that would be the military stepping in and just saying, this is it. This is too much fundamental change of what we're about, trampling on the Constitution without any say from any citizen. You know, and then basically allowing the borders to come down, so you get this massive influx of people who are going to vote illegally for you. The guy's doing everything textbook, how to destroy a country, and he's just a puppet. This is from the top. So if the people aren't understanding that the corporate elite are now at war with you because you're pretty much a liability to their continued profitability, then I don't know what to tell you, because that's what's going on.
So, you know, I guess it comes down to, how do we fix the electoral system, right? And one of the biggest problems to me, about elections is that it's an illusion of democracy, right? And that's always the biggest, that to me is probably the largest threat to world freedom, is enormous countries with enormous resources, enormous power, that have this illusion that they're in a democracy. And that's exactly what the United States has become, right? The United States has become this gigantic illusion of a republic, right? And we're basically, by voting, by thinking that our voting is counting, we're actually feeding into the system, right? And we're making ourselves believe that, oh, well, you know, at least my vote was counted today and my voice was heard. But in reality, in the United States at the current time, that just isn't the case. You know, our voices just aren't being heard. We are an oligarchy. Only the extremely influential have their voices heard by these politicians. Now, that's what I'm saying, though, is that the politicians is kind of a wash. It's kind of a lost cause, right? Because we all know how awful that system is. But the other things, the decriminalization of things, Prop 47 California, Prop 2 in Florida, I'm sure other states have their own things going on. These are the things that actually matter. And then the at the very local level, you know, if you could influence things at the very local level, then yeah. But we all know Congress, the Senate, the House, the presidency, at this point in time, it's a lost cause, you know, and unfortunately, Obama proved that to be true. And I think almost everybody knows it, because in the media right now, they're basically saying, well, both parties suck. And it's basically one of these elections where you have to hold your nose and vote. I mean, this is the thing that's so hypocritical to me, because the media is saying this information. We're talking about corporate media, and everyone's like, yeah, the Democrats are really not popular, and the Republicans are basically just as bad, but people are just holding their noses and voting just to go against the Democrats, you know. And this is the kind of crap they're saying. But the one thing that they're forgetting out of this whole thing, and I think it's intentional, they are not mentioning any of the independents. They're not mentioning any of the third-party candidates. Mm-hmm. All they're saying is, oh, well, the Democrats are really unpopular, so a lot of people are just going to reluctantly vote for the Republicans. Like, dude, but there's another option. There's other ways of voting. And so that's the thing, is that as long as we allow this media cycle to dictate the voting cycle, we're going to remain under this oligarchy. We're going to remain under an illusion of democracy. If we can break those chains, though, if we can break away from this corporate media process, and if we can break away from allowing them to establish the electoral rhythm, then we could actually get back into some real-world politics. But at this point in time, I mean, it's just completely a lost cause.
You know, what's to stop a voting machine from... It doesn't count for anything, especially with the Electoral College and a presidential vote. So BitCongress, we've brushed on it before. It's a natural progression. That's what's going to happen. It's got to happen. People have got to become politically engaged or don't. I don't care if you do or don't. But how do we now mitigate the problems of society when you have a massive population that just is apathetic? How do me and you stuck in the middle? We're not billionaires, but we're not sheeple. How do we create some kind of a middle ground? Because we're really the sheep herders. It's not these wolves with the billions, and it's not the cops with the guns. Me and you are the sheep herders. How do we get everything going the right way? How do we lead society to greener pastures without a civil war, which they want, or basically making the political structure pointless and we don't engage anymore and then we give up? What is the choice, death or slavery? Doesn't sound to me like a very good combo. So how do we fight our way out of it?
Well, you know, the thing to me, and I'm sure Manny can probably attest to this too, is that the young people, man, we're completely disenfranchised with this government, dude. Yeah. The last time was in 2008 when people gave it that one last shot. We're like, you know what? Bush was so freaking bad that we're actually hyped up about this election, and we all voted for Barack Obama. A lot of people that were young voted for Barack Obama. And what did they get? I mean, DB, you voted for him, right? In 2008?
Yeah, I did. I bought into the Kool-Aid because McCain looked like he was on death's door, and I didn't want President Palin. But now thinking about it, an inept, totally convicted, religious kind of a president would probably be better than a cold, calculating, vindictive, anti, what he says, imperialist. But let's be honest, he wants to push a new world order just like every other president does. So how do we get away from it? The only way to get away from it is strong nationality. They want no nations. They want us to kill each other. They want to pick up the scraps and rebuild things. And they want the political process to lead to our disenfranchisement. Because if we feel that we've talked and our voice wasn't heard, we'll stop talking. And that's what they've managed to do. Thankfully, not for everyone, though.
Yeah, man, and that's the thing, is that at this point in time, I think they said, what, 5% of millennials were following the midterm elections closely?
They just don't care.
Because we've been so disenfranchised, man, and it's been so long. It's been, what, the 60s really kicked off a lot of this struggle, dude, where, like, people were actually trying to gain a voice and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was great at the time. But now, like, if you look back, I mean, we haven't really accomplished much since the 60s, and we haven't progressed that well.
Right.
I mean, a lot of the underlying problems that existed then are still there.
It got worse in 73. As soon as we went off our gold standard, our economy was bound to collapse. They prepared for this day.
And see, Martin Luther King tried to prevent it. He tried to get us to end that war.
Right.
And because we never ended the war, it bankrupted the country. Then after Nixon, that was it, dude. That set us on the path to pure fiat, and pure fiat only survives on average 37 years.
So if you're not politically engaged, if you weren't out there in the 60s burning your bra for some weird cause, if you're out there actually fighting the most important fight, which was against the Vietnam War, and you saw that you lost, you have to wonder now with the advent of the internet, where everybody knows all the dirty laundry. Everybody knows who wants to know every bad thing that our government's doing in our name. And why eventually blowback will come home to roost. It has to. And everybody's going to be real surprised when bombs start dropping for 40, 50, 60, 70 years of the most absolute insane foreign policy, the most genocidal foreign policy, democide, that's ever existed in history. And wonder why things are going to end the way they do. Well, read a freaking history book. I mean, what else can we do except educate?
It's kind of like that when that shooter went off a couple weeks ago in Canada, and everyone's like, "Oh my God, how can it happen in Canada?" Yeah. You know, we're so peaceful. It's like, dude, you've been part of the war on terror for 13 years.
Right. Longer. 91, they were in there.
Yeah. So I mean, for the blowback to come this late and for only one guy to get shot, you guys should be thankful.
Like, don't you understand that was staged, you morons? That's not a terror attack. That's a lone gunman. You haven't seen a terror attack yet. Even the Twin Towers wasn't a terror attack. That was very coordinated. A terror attack kills thousands, if not millions, indiscriminately. It doesn't make two towers come down in a pancake. Okay? You just need to think with your head.
Yeah, this is small-scale stuff. You know what I mean? The stuff that the U.S. does is the real terrorism a lot of time. Dropping napalm on whole jungles and stuff like that. I mean, yeah.
So what more else is there to say except if you're not going to vote, I don't blame you. If you are going to vote, if there's an incumbent, check the other box. Even if you're a Democrat or Republican, check the other one. And especially if there's a third party, definitely not nail that check.
Well, you know the average of incumbent re-election, right? And this is crazy because if you look at the polling, and this to me is a big discrepancy, and I've been trying to figure this out. There's only two explanations. But on average, about 90% of incumbents get re-elected.
Yeah.
And you know what, according to poll numbers, how many people think the incumbent should be re-elected? Like under 20%.
Yeah.
Under 20%.
So who's voting?
So basically, the poll numbers say that they think that Congress is doing a bad job and they need to be voted out. But at the same time, 90% of the fools that are there get reelected.
Well, because it's like the movie The Distinguished Gentleman, where the guy had the exact same name as the guy that died and he got voted in, even though he was young and black instead of old and white. People don't understand. They're not engaged anymore. They don't know who's making their decisions. And they've kind of stopped caring because of all the bread and circus and drugs and football, and they have a decent enough job and lots of GMO food, and they're all fat and in this stupor from the fluoride. And here's what we have, man. The people that aren't in the zombie land that everyone else is in are like, how can I get out of here? Because how do we fix it? How do you fix zombie land?
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, the horrible thing. So the big thing, like, people aren't even that, like, people in the millennial generation aren't that concerned with elections. But what they are concerned with, at least partially, is Black Friday and stuff like that.
Right.
And so you got to remember that it's like, it's not just one thing. It's not just the government that's screwing us, but it's the materialism. It's the corporate media, all this brainwashing and yes, consumerism and all that stuff.
All the green screens.
I mean, it's all stuff that needs to be addressed. Is consumerism our biggest problem? No. If we wanted to get on a better path, yes. You know, because consumerism, corporatism, corporations getting in bed with the government, it all kind of walks hand in hand. The media has to be controlled by the corporations in order to convince people to buy the products. I mean, it's all a conflict of interest. You know, when these organizations get as big as they get, and if you think about it, the American media is owned by, what, 5-6 corporations.
Yep.
With questionable ties. General Electric, in fact, was owned NBC or one of those companies for a long time. They recently got out of it, supposedly, but I mean, it's probably owned by their proxy corporations and all this stuff. So there's a big conflict of interest there with the media, between the media, the government, these corporations. And like I was saying, all these media outlets are saying, yeah, this is a, you know, most voters aren't satisfied with the Republicans or the Democrats, but they're going to go ahead and vote one or the other just because. It's like, obviously there's an alternative, but they're not talking about it. And it's because they are so in bed with the corporate structure of things, and the gravy train is running so well for them. Yeah, the average person, all the millennials, we're all kind of left out. We're all stuck with crappy jobs, underemployment, a bunch of people have degrees that they're not really able to put to use and stuff like that. So we're pissed off about it. But these guys just drone away with their million, literally million commercials, spending billions of dollars to get a few old people out to vote, and that's what's going to take over the Senate.
And when are we going to get our internet tax movement here that Hungary just had on a tiny little 3-cent tax they were going to impose? Why are they getting so up in arms when we're having civil liberties stripped every single election. You can look it up. Every single election, you're less free. Doesn't matter how you vote. The agenda is continuing on. When will people take to the streets? Does the NFL need to be shut off for you to get mad? Will your Happy Meal need to be half the size it is today for the same amount of money for you to get mad?
Hey, they rioted in San Francisco over the World Series.
Yeah. I mean, who cares? Do you know how far away from reality Hunter spent or Pence or whatever the hell that guy was? He doesn't give two shits. He makes $5 million a year. He'll never work again after his career is over, while you'll struggle every day of your life for the rest of your life. This is why bread and circus is just ridiculous. People need to get back to it. I hate to say it, but we're going to go into an eco-agrarian society in the U.S. We need small farms. We need light rail. People need free college and stop doing dumbass jobs like at McDonald's and Walmart, because it's a waste of your life. And we need society, especially the rich people, to pay for it or get the hell out of our country, because you've used it up enough already. Enough with these offshore tax loopholes. Either that or go to prison, man, because yeah. You've just raped and robbed and abused everyone for far too long.
I definitely agree with you that we need some kind of education system that's more universal. But at the same time, we also have to remove that education system from the government.
Yes,
needs because to be privatized. Government along with education is an inherent conflict of interest.
Same with healthcare. Obamacare is resulting in deaths right now.
I mean, think about it, man. From the time that you started in kindergarten, you had to stand up every single day and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
And
from
you couldn't
kindergarten
even go to the bathroom.
All the way up until your senior year in high school.
Right.
And they probably even do it in some colleges.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is just pure conditioning and stuff like that. It's pure brainwashing propaganda, and the government schools feed it right to you.
And it's in public culture. That's the thing. We're being preconditioned. Look at The Walking Dead, number one show. People getting hacked into bits, shot in the head, cannibalism, you name it. And people are – it's not a big deal anymore. And when it comes true in real life, you're conditioned. And now you're a zombie. And it's all what it's about, man. It's just all a big game. And so the people on top that don't have magic powers, there are no aliens that are going to come kill you. If there were, they would have. It's just people. It's just old white men, and they're weak as fuck. And they need young men with guns to protect them. Think about that. Think about the fact they want to take your guns. They're that scared.
Every war, if you ask me, dude, every war has been a war of the few rich old people using the young people as their pawns.
That's it.
You know, and that's what we got to understand, dude. These fools are completely powerless without their secret service.
That's it.
They're completely powerless without their mercenary
without their bioengineered super soldiers who have no souls, which is where it's at, probably.
They're completely powerless without their military. These are all people between the ages of 20 and 35. These are all people that are the ones that are holding the oligarchy in place.
Yep.
When these people realize that it's a war from these a handful of old rich guys against basically everybody else, then the whole power structure that's in place right now crumbles into bits, and it rebuilds in a more justice-based way, a way that benefits more people.
Right.
You know, because the way that things are right now, it's just a handful of people taking advantage of basically everybody else. And they're protected by these shills like Sheldon Adelson, which is dumping millions and millions into the anti-legalization of marijuana propositions, and he props up people like Newt Gingrich and other establishment hacks, and who knows who else he's propping up. I mean, with these super PACs, a lot of it's dark money. You can't even tell until after the voting cycle is over where the money came from.
Yep.
This is all tied in with Citizens United and all that stuff.
He's just a top crony. I mean, if you know his name and he's in the press, he's a puppet. The people that really run things, that pull strings, you don't know who they are. You can find out who they are. They're not hiding, but they're not going to come out. There's no need for them to come out, because the power structure is based on secrecy, murder, and really, honestly, people buying into the fact that a dollar bill has value, and it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And you're going to see it soon, because the rest of the world is moving on. BRICS is coming right along. There's going to be a U.S. dollar for the inside and the outside of the country. There's a reason DHS was created. There's a reason they're making a giant prison country. Because when our dollar gets cut in half or in two-thirds, what are all these people going to do? What are they going to do if they
have
guns?
Here's a thought that I just had that I didn't realize before, man, and this is a pretty scary thought, too. And we always talked about, because all this talk about how immigration is hurting the economy and all this stuff, it's all based on false premise. Yeah. It's all overblown. It's all fear-mongering by the right wing, right? Now, here's what's scary. If the Republicans do wind up with the supermajority, which is probably is pretty likely, which means that they control the Senate and the House, mm-hmm. and then a Republican president is elected in 2016, which is very likely. Why? Because look back at 2012. You remember what happened in 2012? Mm-hmm. Not 2012. 2008. Okay? Remember 2008? George Bush was the most horrible president in the world. Remember that. They elected a Democratic House, Democratic Senate, and then they elected Barack Obama, which was the great anti-George Bush. That's when they had their supermajority. That's when they rammed through Obamacare. The same exact thing is lining up right now. The Republicans take the Senate. They already got the House. They elect their president. What do? Well, what's the biggest issue right now? They're going to build the super fence, dude, down at the border. They're going to build the Iron Curtain of the Americas on the border. Given the fact that it's a completely overblown problem, the economy is actually helped by immigration. You got to keep in mind that this fence is built on DHS standards, bro. It's actually going to be used to hold people in. It's not going to be used to keep people out.
Yeah.
This is a horrible idea. And that's what the Republicans potentially in 2016, they can push through basically the militarization of the border, right, on a massive scale, because they'll have the House, Senate, and the presidency. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
Right. Well, it just begs the question, where do we go, man? I mean, some people are resigned to the fact that the technology is already there, that it's too late, and it's been too late for 4 or 5 years. And I'd like to think that that's not true, because even the elites have children, and their minds can change over time. And even though they've been running things, even they've got to realize we're stuck, and we're not getting anywhere as a people, and we've got to get off planet, because just in case. And yeah, protests and going out on the streets and getting violent plays into their game. But if they don't listen to you either and they control all the resources, it kind of puts you in between a rock and a hard place. So where do we go? And self-sufficiency is not going to be a reality for 90% of people. They can't afford it, nor do they have the foresight to do it. And what happens then? Is this why they've been saying forever, it's going to be a great die-off, just make sure you don't be part of it?
Well, you know, the Republicans use that word fear a lot. You know, they always tell you, well, all these people, bad people are going to come because of illegal immigration and all this BS. Well, it's not no different than religion. You know, when they scare you, oh, if you do this, you're going to go to hell and all this stuff, you know. So it's just, and that's what's wrong with the whole system. You know, when you got, you know, like for instance, in government, you got a senator right now that's running for his seventh term. You know, I mean, come on, dude. Are you serious? Seventh term? What happened to term limits, you know? And it's just a mess and amazing. And then you have this nonprofit, supposedly the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church, the biggest businesses in the world, and they're a nonprofit, and they're protected under the nonprofit, you know, status and stuff like that. So, you know, we have to start, forgetting about that word fear, you know, because it's the tactic that the government likes to use against us, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. I mean, they want to scare us they want to scare us straight, more or less. And they want us not trusting our neighbors. We see that. We saw that story about that high school student that wrecked his car in front of these people's houses, and he was knocking on their door because he needed help because he was injured. And the people automatically assumed he was breaking in. They called the cops on him. The cops show up, kill the guy. I mean, this is the culture they want to build us into. They want to build us into this place where we don't trust each other, we're scared of everybody, we're blaming our problems on everybody else, and that's exactly what this is to me. And considering that it's been kind of a big election issue, this whole Republican war against immigration, all it is the next scapegoat, man. All it is the next thing they can start blaming all the problems on, because blaming it on terrorism has gotten old. They can't blame it on terrorism forever, so they got to have the next scapegoat. Well, the next scapegoat, if they can't blame it completely on ISIS, well, they're going to blame it on immigration. Well, yeah, they want to say immigration's our problem, but they don't want to talk about the Federal Reserve, They don't want to talk about the monetary system. You know, they don't want to talk about the massive foreign policy, which is in the billions and billions, if not trillions. You know, these guys want to blame everything on these like problems that are superficial, because immigration is not a true problem for a country. It's actually good for it. Because they don't want to address the real issues, because the gravy train is so good. You know, right. These guys are getting so much money and all this cash is flowing around because they're able to siphon most of the wealth off of the working class and the middle class and concentrate it into the hands of the very, very powerful that actually have their these are the guys that actually have their votes reflected in the government, and the Congress actually does vote in their favor, and so they're able to rig the game in that way, you know?
Right. I mean, it's the game, the hammer's going to drop, man, because we can talk about what this election means tomorrow. And if we've seen the writing on the wall, which is the quantitative easing is basically coming to an end, okay? The rest of the world, the power elite from the actual places that own things, Belgium, the central banking of Europe, the Bank of International Settlements, they're just tired of floating America. America doesn't serve a purpose. Our military might can't be questioned. We cannot be beat. Why should we pay for the welfare of this whole country? Let's end quantitative easing. Let's just start selling assets wholesale. This is going to avoid World War III. Is that a good thing? Sure. What if China owns lock, stock, and barrel everything? What if they come in and try to grab it? They have a huge army. I mean, these are things that are going to become important, more important than the election as we go on. And they're important topics that, you know, we can get into and discuss. But as far as the election goes, beaten to death, man. We do what we can. Guys like Fidel, Alex Fidel, I love to see the young guys. Why don't we have a bunch of 20-year-old guys running for mayor? We should have young people everywhere. Get in there. Go to a town hall meeting and tell them what you think about chemtrails and GMOs, and then all these 50-year-olds get blue in the face. They have no idea what you're talking about. It spreads awareness for all these crazy, crazy things that are kind of turning out to be mostly true. I mean, it's not far-fetched to think that people since World War II that have controlled most of the world are experimenting on us and have continued to do so the whole time. It's happening. Deal with it. Let's get the young generation in. They've had the internet. They have the information. They don't have the willpower. How do we engage the younger people, 25, 30, to start pissed off?
The only way they'll be engaged is if they feel their voices being heard.
But we know the vote don't work.
Exactly. That's why nobody wants to vote, is because nobody wants to vote because when they vote, their voice is still not being heard. You know what I'm saying? Everybody voted for Obama, and what the hell happened? Nothing. Nothing changed at all. In fact, things probably got worse. You know? So that's why people aren't trying to vote, man. That's why the young people aren't trying to get out there that much, is because, I mean, it doesn't reflect.
Right. Like
we throw all these votes away on Obama and all this stuff, and it just didn't reflect.
So we got to start a new paradigm. I mean, how else are you going to do it?
You got to start replacing that old system, man.
Yeah.
With Bit Congress and ideas like
all that. All that stuff. What if
self-determination, man? Just imagine that. So imagine that for once.
Yeah.
You actually have self-governance in the United States. Imagine that, dude.
I mean, we are the be-all, end-all. We have the biggest military. Anything we say goes. If not, we steamroll you. Imagine if we were a force for light and good. What if we were 1930 America right now? How do we stop the continual cultural breakdown of our society, starting with the Federal Reserve in 13 and continuing on when it really started to break down in the Great Depression?
Well, we are like in the 1930s
right now. Again.
Because we are in depression-like times because the quote-unquote Great Recession, which supposedly ended, hasn't. And that's another thing that they're actually admitting in the corporate media too. They're like, oh yeah, the media, the economy has rebounded, but you know, the only problem is that the average everyday person hasn't felt the rebound.
Yeah.
And they'll at least admit to that.
Well, it's a high tech world. What are you going to do? There's no more factory jobs. If you don't have a high degree, what could you do besides sales? Or if you get lucky doing something? Thankfully, in the U.S., you can still open a small business. Some places you can't at all. So at least we got that going. How do we take it back? How do we make misguided men with guided missiles lose their ability to push that button? I mean, Bit Congress starts it. and then we go on from there. And we get it to the point where, because we're so freaking lazy on our smartphone, it'll tell you, Dianne Feinstein today voted to repeal your access to blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that? And it comes to your cell phone because you're so apathetic, but now you can't get away from it. Now you know what's going on. Now you know Dianne Feinstein just raised taxes. You're going to get $5,000 less next year. What are you going to do about it? That's what we need, because people, even with the internet, still won't go and find things out. They won't. They still watch TV. Why? Go find the information out. And then if you get mad, you're going to make 50 people mad, and they're going to make 5,000 people mad, and then you get another 60s. And that's what we have to have. Or else what's next? They're going to get a Ferguson in every city? Is that what it's going to take?
And, you know, the sad part is they're kind of prepared for that already, too. And I think, you know, you look at the militarization of the police, and it's all post-9/11. It's all, you know, surplus from Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. But you got to think, is it coincidental that they militarized the police at this time?
No.
And I think that these guys know, and they know damn well, the insiders know that the end of the dollar is near, and they don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
But they're preparing for the worst. They're militarizing police because they are preparing for the worst. You know, and so if they're going to do that, we gotta understand that they're doing that.
But it's bullshit. What if we made empty lots into farms? What if there were fruit trees in every park? What if Parks and Recreation, instead of making all this landscape look pretty, started making food on our dime for our homeless, who we could be, because we're only one paycheck away from it, in our whole fucked up society and system where every day you're worried about making that dollar because you don't have shelter and food and clothing provided for by the richest country on earth. It's just crap. And we have to change it. Food forests have to be the norm. Free housing for the homeless. Free. I don't care. Stuff 20 people into a home, but they got a roof. These are things we could do tomorrow.
You know, baby, the problem with the government, too, is like, you know, you made a good point in a lot of things. That, you know, when I hear people getting tickets because they went out there to feed the homeless in some, you know, park or something, I mean, that's really sickening in our country that we can't feed the homeless without getting a ticket and stuff like that. It's just really upsetting and stuff like that. That point that you made, too, about these kids, they got to have ganas. They got to go out there and, you know, get their lazy asses, you know, doing something. You know, I kind of, when it comes to immigration, I get tired of people in this country saying, hey, you're taking my job. My job, dude. I'm working in the field. Right. When I came here to this country, what are you talking about? I'm taking your job. You know what I mean? So,
well, yeah, go do that then. That's the thing, is if we all farmed, we'd do it an hour a day instead of having dudes making pennies or whatever, a dollar an hour, sweating their balls off. It's stupid. And they're coming up here for a better life for their children. They're not going to get, because we're broke. But we don't have to be. This used to be by far the best country in the world because we cared. We cared about each other. Yeah, we went to church or temple or the mosque, and we had something that really brought us together. We were American. We knew that if we worked hard, we'd get everything we ever wanted because we had all the resources. And the military protected us. No one could come in and invade us. And now look, we got traitors on the inside trying to break us up. We got apathetic people that don't care anymore about the Constitution that protects them.
Yeah, and instead of the military being the single largest protector of the U.S., it's actually made us the most vulnerable, right? Because of all the spending. I mean, it's put us in so much debt, $16 trillion in debt or more, probably a lot more when you consider all the liabilities with Social Security and all that stuff. So things have changed, man. Like, the paradigm has shifted in the U.S. It went from being a force for preventing fascism and stuff. And now the whole fight against communism was a facade.
A facade.
That was just a military industrial complex, total profit building campaign. And that's what the war on terror has become. The war on terror is basically the new Cold War. And they're just doing massive buildups. Every now and then they'll flex and they'll bomb a country or two.
Or infrastructure.
And otherwise they just keep building up and stuff.
It's an asinine notion to think, as we're structured, which is Cold War, with thousands of planes and tanks, that they can combat asymmetrical warfare, which is coming now. We're so advanced that conventional warfare will never happen. If we fight Russia, we instituted it, we engaged it, because we'll flatten them. And they know it. But here's the thing. A lot of people will die in that. And that's what they want. That's what the elites want. So prevent World War III as long as we possibly can. Hope somebody grows a sack and starts arresting these fools. Otherwise, we really are doomed because what are me and you going to do, Nick? Go flood the White House together with two people? I mean, if it gets to a point where 2 million people are pissed off, and if something happened to them, the other 300 million people couldn't help but notice, and they got pissed off, then we have a chance. But if that never comes, if it's just me and you, where do we go?
Yeah, and that kind of ties in also with this, with these students that disappeared in Mexico, because that's kind of what's happening. It's ignited a big movement. Now that these kids are not being found, a lot of people are asking questions, man. And like you said, if we had enough people together to do something like that, it wouldn't be able to be stopped, you know. But yeah, it's just something that we got to factor in with all this other stuff is building in new systems where eventually enough people can get on these new ideas where we can just say, you know what, forget you guys. Congress and all that, you guys don't represent us. You represent old people. You represent corporations.
It's just countries versus
like,
people.
You know what we need to do is we need to tell them, you go do that, bro. Yeah. Like, go do you, and we're going to do us. You know, we're going to do our own thing.
But how do we divorce world government?
That's
the question, without them basically slaughtering all opposition.
The concerned public needs to get divorced from big government. You know what I'm saying? And that is basically the struggle here, because that's what holds down all these things. It holds down environmentalism. It holds down entrepreneurs. It holds down innovation. It holds down justice. All these big institutions, that's all they do, is that they actually prevent the things from happening. Happening that they're supposed to be enabling, like the Department of Justice, right? The Department of Justice is supposed to be making sure justice is being served, when many times these are the same people removing justice from people. They're the ones allowing FBI to investigate people without having warrants and all this stuff. I mean, these are institutions that are supposed to be out for us. They're supposed to be representing and protecting us. Instead, it's turned from it's the government and we protect ourselves. And you're the lonely sheep walking in the alley, and we're just making sure the wolves don't bite you, but we're more than likely to shear you for all of your wool and all that stuff, and milk you for all you got. That's what these guys are doing. You know what I'm saying?
And we continue to play the game that it's not the state versus the people everywhere in the world, and that's really what it boils down to. That's all it is. How do we defeat people from making decisions for me and you? How do we stop other people from allowing that small minority to make decisions for everyone? And it leads us down to where we're at today, and we'll continue to be. The only thing left, make sure everybody can feed, clothe, shelter themselves. Don't need these people. We can all make decisions, and that's all that's left, man, because other way is total dominance, total control. And we know it's coming, man. We know it's coming, so shit, draw your battle line soon. That's all we can say for this one.
Well, for starters, let's get the Anti-Media Show with Nick and Debbie 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
Yeah, man, I think that's a good idea. What do you think?
Then it becomes a job, so yeah, but we can see what we can do.
Yeah, man, if not, we can have some other shows too. I know a few people want us to do a show in Spanish, man. That'd be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I mean, as many people as just keep talking, keep letting people know everything they're doing. It's just to put you in a smaller and smaller cage. That's all they're doing. They're not trying to help you. They're not trying to feed you. They're not trying to do anything good for you. They're just trying to take everything you got until there's nothing left. And just fight, fight, fight them. And if it gets bad, it gets bad. We'll deal with it then. Until then, just keep spreading the word. Let people know the corporate media is all lies. It's all green screens. Stop watching it.
And that's more or less what the government is. It's a big parasite, right? And it just lives off the back of the body that it is a parasite on. And it, sooner or later, with any parasite, like the host eventually gets sick, right? So, you know, I think at this point in time, that's what we're dealing with, is a sick public with that's been turned into a host for a parasite. You know, and that's what the American public has become. That's what the world public has become to the American government. A lot of countries are being eaten alive by us, and I don't know if voting's gonna fix it, but it's worth a try, I guess. Catch you guys on Wednesday.
I'ma let them know, no, do the stereo. Yo, here we go, go, do the stereo, stereo, stereo.